You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
The Hawke's Bay Regional Council has commissioned a team to survey Dotterall or Tuturi Whātū populations in the region. The team, led by ornithologist Nikki MacArthur, walked 320 kilometres of coastline and found that the population had doubled in the past decade, from 86 birds to 222. It was completed in 2021 and the results have only just been released. Speaking with me today is George Hobson, the Chief Policy Lead for Forest and Bird Youth, about the increase. I started by asking him about the reliability of the survey and if numbers could have changed since 2021.
Well, I think that's a really solid report, and it's been done by really credible researchers, and they've found some really incredible results, actually, showing that the number of Tuturi Whātū, the New Zealand dotterall, have increased by a really large margin, from a number about 80-something birds 10 years ago compared to 220 now. So it's an incredible increase that they've found, and it's absolutely reliable because they're a very good team and they're repeating similar surveys that have been done in the past.
Tuturi Whātū became extinct in the Hawke's Bay from the late 19th century. What kind of activities or factors might have contributed to that phenomena?
That was likely due to things like introduced predators primarily. So think kind of hedgehogs, stoats, rats, those type of creatures. The Tuturi Whātū are really, really vulnerable to introduced predators because they lay their eggs literally in what's called a scrape on the sand, which is exactly what it sounds like. They use their legs and they scrape a tiny bit of sand into sort of a bowl shape, and then they lay their eggs just straight on the sand like that. So if you were a stoat or a rat or something like that, it's a really easy meal to get, which makes them incredibly vulnerable to introduced predators picking them off very easily.
So what kind of conservation efforts have restored these numbers, the great numbers that we see today?
I think it's a combination of really incredible work from both government and communities. So what we've seen here is a combination of government support and community passion that has driven the conservation work. And it's a range of things, right? So one of the key things is introduced predator control, because without predator control, the Tuturi Whātū are incredibly, incredibly vulnerable. But the other one is advocacy around the Tuturi Whātū being there, because while they're vulnerable to introduced predators on the beaches, they're also incredibly vulnerable to people and human activities. So one of the key things that the local community has been doing really, really well is raising the flag for the Tuturi Whātū, putting out signs, doing awareness campaigns, that type of thing, making people know that the Tuturi Whātū is on the beaches in the Hawke's Bay area. And that's really important because it means that people take more care where they're walking, they take more care keeping their dogs on lead and with their four-wheel drives as well. So a combination of that direct management, that sort of predator control level, as well as the awareness and the signage and the fencing and all of that stuff, has contributed to this incredible recovery of Tuturi Whātū in the Hawke's Bay area.
You touched on some really great strategies there. What do you think are the most successful conservation strategies for increasing any endangered species population?
Look, it totally depends on the type of bird or endangered species that we're talking about, but there are a few key common factors, I think, that come into successful conservation work. One of the key ones, particularly when it's community conservation, is passion. When we see successful conservation campaigns like this, it's almost always due to a really, really passionate group of local individuals. And I can use the example of the banded dotterall, the pohoera, in Wellington. There's a local group of community individuals who work with the group MIRO, or Mainland Island Restoration Operation, to restore and enhance the area that Tuturi Whātū and pohoera breed in, and they do so with that signage and with the predator control and all of that type of work, and they've increased their pohoera breeding success from about 3% up to nearly 40%. So it's that really level of passion that exists in the local community that's super important, as well as resourcing. So that's where the government support comes in as well. This work, or the Tuturi Whātū restoration, would not be possible without that government support and without the resourcing. So those are the two key elements, I think, that come most important in conservation work.
You touched on kind of resources there. What would you say are the least costly conservation efforts, both financially and time-wise? And do they kind of line up well with the most successful strategies for a species? Or is there kind of a discrepancy there? Is that why we may be seeing declines in other endangered species?
Yeah, there are certainly lots of conservation efforts that can be done by local communities, for example, at low cost. So we've seen, obviously, in Hawke's Bay, the example of putting out signs for the Tūturi Whātua and the Popoweta, raising awareness, bringing it to people's attention. And that's fantastic, but it needs to come hand in hand with vaguely resource-intensive conservation work too. So we need that awareness level of conservation work, but we also need that resource-heavy trapping and predator control, as well as a whole range of other things that factor into it. So they come hand in hand. We can't have one without the other, and that's why it's great to see this example of central and local government stepping up to help the local community with this incredible bird that they're all so passionate about. And it's something that needs to be replicated across the country with a whole range of other species as well, because there are lots more species that are highly threatened with extinction that need this level of support too.
So to touch on kind of the longevity of the species in the future, because the population did decrease significantly and then it rose again, so because of that reduced population, are there concerns for the genetic diversity of the species, and could that kind of impact breeding in the future?
It's a good point, and one that needs to be considered when talking about any species in Aotearoa New Zealand. I don't know the specifics of the Tūturi Whātua in Hawke's Bay particularly, but it's a really important consideration, and one that the Department of Conservation makes when they create their species management plans, which is another factor that's benefited the Tūturi Whātua in Hawke's Bay. The management plan that DOC has made has been really useful. So it's something that's considered. It's definitely something that's worthwhile thinking about, and it's an important consideration when undertaking this kind of conservation work.
And finally, for people who aren't really involved in awareness work and are kind of focused on other things, would simply avoiding dotterel breeding zones be a good start, or are there other first steps that people can take?
Yeah, it depends on your sort of level of interest, I suppose. It's fantastic to get as many people involved in this type of work as possible. So if you're sort of listening and vaguely interested in being involved, I'd really encourage you to do so, because it's people like you that actually make the difference. It's those passionate people in the community. They are the ones who really drive these kinds of projects. So there's sort of different levels of involvement, I guess, right from the overall level, the beginning level. Like you say, avoiding areas where there are signs that Tūturi Whātua exists is a really great one. You can do that by just simply walking around areas that Tūturi Whātua are breeding in, making sure that your dogs aren't running through those type of areas, and keeping your cats inside at night as well if you live nearby. That's a really important one. And then you can also consider being more heavily involved. Quite often there are community groups, and I know there are community groups in Hawke's Bay that focus on protecting the dotterels. So you could look at becoming involved with those type of groups. Or if you're particularly keen, then there's always that scope to create your own type of project and work with other local interested people as well. And that's something that's really, really important too, particularly if you live in an area where there isn't that kind of project already happening.
That was me speaking with George Hobson from Forest and Bird about the double Tūturi Whātua population in the Hawke's Bay.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.